Hello and welcome to Arxiv LLM Daily EN. This is the show where we pick one fresh Arxiv paper and make it useful for people actually building with AI. Today we're looking at Taxonomy, Evaluation and Exploitation of IPI-Centric Agent Defense Frameworks. We're talking about it now because teams are wiring LLM agents to tools and the open web. And this paper tries to bring order, a taxonomy of defenses, a way to evaluate them, and even an exploitation angle to stress test what you deploy. Mark will look at it from the field, real-world usage, and Jamie will cover the AI technical side. Concretely, what's the use of what they're proposing, and what need does it meet today? Mark, let's start with what need you're actually seeing on the ground.
In real life, as soon as teams turn on web browsing or plug agents into internal tools, they get nervous about prompt injection from stuff the agent reads, docs, web pages, even API responses. Product and security folks don't have a shared checklist for defenses or a way to tell if a guardrail actually works. They need a map of attack types, plug-and-play defenses they can insert in the pipeline, and a scorecard to decide what's good enough for a launch or a compliance review.
So you're saying it's about moving from vibes to a common playbook with named attack categories and tests so you know if a defense holds before you ship. Jamie, before you answer why this is showing up now, quick one-sentence definition for listeners. What does IPI-centric mean in plain English?
IPI means indirect prompt injection, malicious instructions hidden in the external content your agent ingests, not typed by the user. This approach is showing up now because agents increasingly pull from untrusted sources and call tools autonomously. The old model of a single static prompt and a generic safety filter doesn't cover that supply chain risk. A taxonomy plus evaluation lets teams layer defenses, detect, isolate, and enforce policies, and the exploitation angle helps both red teamers and defenders verify those layers under realistic attacks.
Put differently, as agents read more untrusted text and act on it, we need a clear menu of defenses and a yardstick to measure them, plus a way to test like an attacker would. Great, that sets the stage. All right, let's dig in. Jamie, can you unpack what the paper actually proposes? Give us the taxonomy, what kinds of attacks and defenses they cover, the evaluation framework, and this exploitation angle, and then position it versus older approaches like static guardrails or simple sandboxing.
The paper does three things. First, taxonomy. On the attack side, it catalogs indirect prompt injection vectors embedded in content the agent reads. HTML markdown with hidden instructions, data URIs, alt text, PDF annotations, API response fields, and even plugin manifests or tool outputs that smuggle instructions. On the defense side, it groups methods into families. 1. Detection, rules and LLM as judge classifiers. 2. Isolation, sanitization or transformation to a neutral format. 3. Provenance and trust scoring, source allow deny lists, signed content. 4. Capability control, policy-driven tool gating and memory write rules. And 5. Runtime monitors, intercept and verify around tool calls and outbound actions. Second, evaluation. They propose a harness that runs agents through curated IPI attack suites and measures detection rate, false positives, impact on benign task success, and overhead in latency cost. Third, exploitation. They provide patterns and tooling for red teams to generate or mutate injections, so defenders can continuously test. Compared to classic guardrails, this is pipeline-centric, less about a single safety prompt, and more about layered checks at I/O boundaries, tool calls, and memory operations.
So basically, it's a map of how you might get tricked, a menu of defenses to layer in your agent pipeline, and a test bench to see if those layers actually hold, plus tools to attack yourself before attackers do. Mark, what would this change in actual usage for a team building an agent?
What usually happens is teams stick a big system prompt and hope. With this, you restructure the pipeline. You put a preprocessor on any fetched content to sanitize and score it. You install a runtime gate before every tool call with policies like never send secrets to external URLs, and you treat memory writes as privileged, only allowed if the detector says the content is clean. Developers get concrete touchpoints, a policy file next to the tool registry, a detection module you can swap rules versus LLM judge, and logs that show content X was quarantined, tool Y call blocked. Minimum prep is defining risk tiers for tools, an allow list for sources, and prompt templates that include policy reminders without relying on them as the only defense.
Got it. This becomes part of your plumbing, pre-process, gate, and log instead of just a clever prompt. If we apply this to a simple everyday scenario, Mark, say a customer support agent that browses a knowledge base and occasionally the open web, how would a product person actually roll this in?
Step by step. In the console or config, they enable the API defense module for the browsing tool. They pick a sanitization mode, say, strip scripts, render HTML to safe markdown, drop embedded instructions. Then they set policies. Ignore any instruction originating from content, never execute tool calls triggered by external text without a user origin tag, and require confirmation for actions touching CRM. Next, they run the evaluation suite. It opens a few booby-trapped KB pages and tests if the agent tries to follow hidden commands. In the logs, they see detections with a confidence score and whether the action was blocked or required approval. For the support team, that means fewer weird escalations, like an agent trying to reset passwords because a web page told it to. Day to day, they mostly see smoother runs and fewer back and forths fixing mistakes.
So for support, it's a toggle, plus a couple of policies, then you run the built-in tests and watch the logs to confirm it's blocking the weird stuff. Let's crank it up. Mark, imagine a research to prod team with a multi-tool agent, SQL queries, Jira, email, where you want controlled autonomy but no escalation paths. What does that look like?
In that case, we split tools by risk. Read-only query, low risk. Write to DB or send email, high risk. We set policy levels. Read-only can be auto-approved. Anything that writes or sends must pass an injection check and a second policy, like no tool calls derived from external sources unless the user explicitly asked. We also fence memory. The agent can summarize external text but can't store untrusted instructions into long-term memory. For rollout, we stage it. Lab first with the evaluation suite, then shadow mode in staging. Defenses log would-be blocks but don't enforce. When we flip to enforce, we keep a human approval lane for high-risk tools. The friction shows up when the agent is eager to automate emails. We redirect that into drafting only, unless the content has a clean provenance tag.
Jamie, connect that back to the mechanics in the paper. How do detection versus mitigation and the taxonomy actually support those policies and runtime checks?
The taxonomy helps pick layers. For content-borne attacks, you lead with isolation. Convert HTML PDF to a minimal, non-executable representation. Then apply detection to the reduced text. If detection flags an instruction from an external source, mitigation kicks in. Strip the instruction, mark the content as untrusted, and downgrade capabilities, so the policy engine denies tool calls originating from that context. Provenance scoring provides a lightweight trust signal. For example, internal KB with signatures gets higher trust than arbitrary web. Runtime monitors wrap tools so every call includes a justification and source trace. The policy checks, is the justification user-derived and is the source trusted? If not, block or route to human review. That's detection plus mitigation working together, and the evaluation harness tells you which layers actually reduce attack success without breaking benign tasks.
That's clear. Sanitize first, then detect. Then use policy to allow or block actions, with the tool wrapper as the last checkpoint. Let's look under the hood. Jamie, what are the prerequisites, assumptions, and limits the authors call out, and what future work do they suggest?
Prerequisites. You need intercept points on all agent I/O, content fetchers, memory writes, and tool invocations, and structured logging so you can trace a decision back to inputs. You also need the ability to add extra model calls if you use an LLM as judge. Assumptions. The attacker hides instructions in content the agent ingests and tries to pivot into tool misuse. The defender can at least control the orchestrator and tool wrappers. Constraints. Latency and cost from extra checks, possible false positives that block legitimate actions, and evasion. Attackers can obfuscate or use languages and encodings that detectors miss. Also, content transformation can strip useful context, hurting task quality. Future work includes stronger provenance via attestations, better multilingual and obfuscation-robust detectors, and standardized policy languages so defenses are portable across stacks.
Put simply, you must own the edges where content comes in and actions go out. Expect a bit more delay and cost, and accept that you'll sometimes block good actions to avoid bad ones. Mark, what does that mean for setup and team processes?
It means assigning ownership. Security or platform sets the baseline policies and the red team tests. Product owns tool risk tiers and approval UX. Devs wire the interceptors and keep the policy file next to the tool code. We add training so engineers don't bypass the wrappers just to test. Monitoring-wise, we put a dashboard showing block rates, false positives, and time saved from prevented actions. The tension is real. If false positives spike, PMs complain about friction. The antidote is a weekly triage where we adjust rules, whitelist specific sources, or tune thresholds. And we keep a kill switch per tool, so support can relax policies temporarily with an audit trail.
Let's talk results. Jamie, according to the paper, what did they measure, on what kinds of benchmarks, and how did it compare to baselines? Plus, was this simulated or close to production?
They evaluate on curated IPI attack suites that cover web and document formats, plus tool misuse scenarios and simulated agents. Metrics include detection recall for malicious content, false positive rate on benign tasks, downstream task success under defense, and overhead in latency and API calls. Compared to baselines like simple rejects heuristics or a single safety prompt, layered defenses show higher attack blocking with smaller drops in legitimate task performance. Overhead is present. Extra checks add delay, but remains within interactive use for most tasks. It's largely controlled experiments, scripted agents, and known attack patterns, with some ablation studies showing which layers contribute the most.
For non-technical listeners, the gains mean fewer successful tricks getting through, without breaking normal tasks too often, and with a bit of extra wait time and compute spend. Quick sanity check on cost and observability, Jamie. Are we talking a small bump or a big one? And how do we keep an eye on it?
Expect a small to moderate bump, typically one or two additional model calls per content chunk or tool action if you use an LLM judge, plus lightweight rule checks. Observability comes from structured traces. Every tool call logs the content hash, detection verdict, policy decision, and outcome, so you can compute block rates, false positives, and latency distribution. Sampling those traces into a dashboard keeps the costs visible and helps you tune thresholds.
So you pay a bit more per request and add some milliseconds to seconds of latency, but you get visibility and controls you can tune. Mark, reality check. If teams adopt this, what should they expect versus the paper's numbers?
In real environments, it's usually messier. False positives are higher at first because your content is noisier than a benchmark. Tool wrappers break when someone introduces a new integration without policies. And latency spikes happen during peak hours when detection queues back up. Expect a 2 to 4 week hardening phase. Tighten allow lists, cache sanitized content, and split high-risk tools behind approvals. Once it's tuned, the agent feels reliable, fewer fire drills, and the extra cost is predictable because you can budget checks per tool and per source.
All right, time to land the plane. Mark, who benefits the most from adopting this IPI-centric defense framework, and under what conditions?
The biggest winners are teams running multi-tool agents, browsing, querying, and taking actions like email or ticket updates, plus anyone in regulated domains like finance or healthcare, and security-conscious products that touch customer data. Preconditions. You need instrumentation on agent I/O and tool wrappers, a basic governance setup with a policy owner, and a testing loop, red team suites, staging in shadow mode, and dashboards for false positives and latency. If you have that minimal scaffolding, the framework pays off fast.
So the sweet spot is multi-tool agents in environments that already log, have a policy file, and can run tests before flipping the switch. Jamie, one last practical tip from the AI side for the first 30 days.
Start in shadow mode and measure. Lead with low-cost, deterministic sanitization and allow lists. Add LLM as judge only where rules struggle. Gate high-risk tools first and log provenance so every action shows what content influenced it. Track a simple SLO, say under 2% false positives on key tasks, and budget for 1 to 2 extra model calls per risky step. Keep a kill switch per tool with audit trails.
Got it. Start safe, measure, and iterate with clear ownership. Mark, fastest tomorrow morning move if a team wants a quick win?
Wrap your highest risk tools, email send, database writes, behind a policy gate and human approval. Turn on a sanitizer for web and doc inputs. Run the canned IPI attack suite and staging, and put a simple dashboard up showing blocks, false positives, and added latency. Then write a one-page runbook, who tunes thresholds, who approves exceptions, and how to roll back.
Bottom line, this paper turns fuzzy prompt injection fears into a concrete, layered defense plan you can plug into your agent pipeline and actually measure. To finish, a quick reminder, the English version of the podcast is available via the RSS feed on nblotty.org/iadaily/en and also on Spotify. Search for ArxivLLM Daily EN. See you tomorrow for more AI news. Have a great day.